Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Friday, the 1st of December, 2017. We've reached the last month of the year. We've got Christmas coming up. And we also have with us someone with a rather Christmassy sounding name today. We have boat singer, Mr. Klaus. Klaus, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you. Merry Christmas, Sven.
And a Happy New Year to you too. We might even have to adjust the intro, make that up, Christmas that up a little bit, I think. I think we've got something we can add to it. Anyway, we've got, we need to have something cheerful to talk about at the beginning because we've got something not so cheerful to talk about today, really, to start with, I guess, and that's Nordic Resistance Movement. I hear they've been banned in Finland, and you're a little bit closer to Finland than I am, Klaus, so what's been going on there?
Yeah, I saw the news yesterday. I don't know how they could pull it off, really. As I understood, it was the Swedish police that said they wanted to get them banned. So they asked the courts for them to be banned on the grounds that they promote violence. And of course, there's nothing in there, you know, in the foundations of the Nordic Resistance Movement that promotes violence. They have a political program which doesn't really speak of violence in any fashion, but you know, with the street activism they do and they've had some clashes with the police and such. I guess it's on those grounds that they wanted them banned. Also, there was that Finnish junkie that died, was it last year? After an altercation with a member of the Nordic Resistance Movement. He basically walked past some street activist that was standing with the flags and handing out flyers, and then he was spitting. The junkie was spitting at one of them. So the guy from the Nordic Resistance Movement promptly kicked him in the chest. And he didn't die from that, but he was admitted to the hospital and later was released. And then he had a heart attack or something a week later where he then died. And they then blamed the Nordic Resistance Movement for his death. But he was a drug addict, so he had a lot of problems already.
I remember that when that happened at the time. You know, I remember the Finnish police saying this, that they wanted to get them banned. But I was just wondering how they managed to do this. I mean, in Britain, what they said about national action, they said, we're going to ban them and we're going to designate them as terrorists. Yeah. And the reason given for designating them as terrorists was because they don't like Jews, they don't like gays, and they don't like blacks. Basically, that's all we were given. They said, oh, they're anti-Semitic, they're racist, they're homophobic, they're Nazis, and that's why we're banning them. They didn't actually come up with any evidence of any plots to commit violence or any violent acts at all. It was just purely because they didn't like their views. And as you say, the Nordic Resistance Movement, their platform is, it doesn't contain any plans for violence in there. Did they call them terrorists or anything like that? Did they use similar legislation, do you know?
Well, they weren't banned in the same manner as National Action or Scottish Dawn. That is like abuse of legislation. I mean, I guess the UK anti-terror legislation was put in place, you know, to curb Muslim terrorism after the London bombings and such. But then it was like used to ban patriots instead. It was like a complete mess over there. But you know, the Swedish police just asked to get the ban, and then the courts banned them. But they have as far as I've read, they have some contingency plans. So they will of course appeal this decision. So we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's not a hard ban like it is in the UK, where they can't meet up and they can't organize again. So I don't think they'll succeed with it. It's very not Finnish, I guess you could say.
So it was the Swedish police that asked Finland to ban them, or was it the Finnish police?
No, I think it was the Finnish police.
Finnish police, yeah. That's what
I could imagine there's been some sort of political pressure to get it done.
If they're actually able to appeal it, I mean, that's a big difference from National Action, because there was no chance of appealing that at all.
No. No, that was just based on nothing, you know, on private chats. And you say a lot of things in private chats, you know, just for fun.
Yeah, it shouldn't be taken seriously. It's like we've got somebody on charges of plotting to murder an MP, and it was quite clear that it was just idle conversation in a pub. I mean, yeah. People say all the time that those traitors in Parliament, they deserve to be tried for their crimes and hanged, or and years ago people would say they deserve to be lined up against a wall and shot. And it certainly nobody ever took that as an intention of a plot to murder. It was never taken seriously. It was just,
no, of course not,
just a way of describing how angry we are at these traitors and what they're doing. So they've got some kind of contingency plan. Obviously, they'd probably be keeping that to themselves. But what we've seen with National Action is that the police have tried to say that if any of these former members are together or join any other group, they then try to say that this other group is an extension of National Action. So do you know any more about the actual wording with the Nordic Resistance Movement? Are they, you know, are they going to be able to meet up? Can they just change their name? Because I think it was the Czech Party for Social Justice. They got banned, and what they were able to do was change their name, change their flag, and they were allowed to continue. So is it something similar like that, where if they change their name, they'll be able to continue?
Yeah, I don't think they want to do that. I mean, they have a Finnish name for the organization as well. I mean, they have the name the Nordic Resistance Movement, but it is a pan-Nordic movement, so it'd be very odd to have them be their own thing under a different name with different symbols and a different website and such. I don't think that will happen, but quite frankly, I can't see them. I can't see them getting banned, and I mean getting through with this. I don't. It's just unheard of, really.
It's ludicrous, and particularly in Finland, you like to think that Finland is one of the more traditional countries in Scandinavia, one of the more nationalist.
Not, so far gone.
Yeah, they fought against communism. They, you know, the Winter War and all of that. They know what it's like. I'm really surprised at this, but then again, I suppose what they're doing is they're portraying this junkie that ended up dying a week later as if that was caused by the Nordic Resistance Movement. These unfortunate things.
Even if it was caused, it's not the organization itself that promotes street violence. It was just an impulsive response to an attack by a leftist junkie. I mean, how can you blame the organization for that?
Yeah, it's just self-defense.
It was obviously an accidental death if it was caused by that kick.
Yeah, if it had happened to anybody else, then this wouldn't be going on. It's only the fact that they're patriots and they're standing up for their country that they're being treated in this way.
Can you imagine the news articles if the Social Democrats have been out demonstrating or handing out flyers, and then some nationalists spat on them, and then he got kicked? I mean, the papers would be filled with praise. Nazi got kicked to death by based social Democrats. I mean, they would be cheered on by the press.
Yeah, and if the guy lived, they would be locking up the nationalist and accusing him of assaulting them. Yeah, it's total double standards. Is this going to affect the Danish resistance movement? Because that's forming at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't think so. I mean, I couldn't possibly imagine anything would ever happen to a Danish organization. We've always, had a lot of freedom to make whatever passes we want. We don't really have any restrictions of any kind.
Do you have a free? I seem to remember you have a free state there. Is that right? A free state in Denmark, sort of it started in the '60s, where they don't have any laws.
Yeah, it started like, you know, a hippie commune, really, where they had an old army base in the center of Copenhagen that they occupied. And you in the '70s, they didn't just call the police and then throw them out, but they were allowed to stay there, and then they started, you know, selling drugs, mainly marijuana, and that has been the stable for decades now. for over 40 years, and they're just now it's a lot of immigrants just selling drugs out there. So basically a worthless place. But you know, they do have a sign that says you're now leaving the European Union. I guess that is a good thing.
Oh, I guess what that shows is that Denmark is pretty tolerant towards the left. So you would hope that they would also be tolerant towards the right. If they're prepared to allow that in the middle of Copenhagen, then yeah, that bodes well for any nationalist movement. I would have thought in Denmark that you'd be able to use that and say, look, they've got their own area. Why can't we have an ethno state? We need our own area.
I mean, it does. We do have more political freedom, but there is a flip side to it, because as you see, if you see the nationalists in Sweden, they are way more numerous and way better organized than we are in Denmark. We can't even compare the two, because they've had such a politically correct climate and been incredibly hard on nationalists and dissidents. They haven't been allowed to talk in the press, and they've been vilified by the media for decades. So they've had to grow independently, and they weren't just allowed to say what they wanted. So they are incredibly strong and united, and I guess they have better conditions for victory than we do in Denmark, because they've been so excluded.
So the more the government push and try to clamp down, the more people are always going to react to that and respond to it and fight against it. And it's just it's so good that you've got this, you know, this pan-Scandinavian movement, and you can get together for these demonstrations, and you can look to Sweden and how they've built up their resistance movement over the last 20 years and be a part of that yourselves. I wish we had something similar in Britain. I mean, that Nordic resistance movement is the envy of all nationalists the world over, I think, judging from who I talk to. I mean, they are the most impressive group, and you can't fault any of their manifesto. It's just, you know, you're lucky to have them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they've decided to be, you know, a political party, and you know, try to stand for elections and such. So, I mean, I wish them all the best, and all different initiatives and organizations that spring up these years. I mean, it's wonderful to see.
And what's
we
this?
We just need to attack from all fronts. All different kinds of organizations will have to emerge to, you know, finally have some victories.
That's the way I see it. I mean, even civic nationalists, we agree with them on some points. And if they're winning in certain areas, then and I'll support them. I mean, we've got Katie Hopkins over here in Britain. She's a civic nationalist, and she started leaning more towards the racial side of things. She started to talk in terms of white and black, and she's a mainstream journalist. And she had a meeting attacked the other day in a church, and she's releasing pictures of people that are all bruised and bloodied. And, you know, I think she's great. I mean, she's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of supporters that she is waking up to the Muslim threat and the racial thing. And okay, so she doesn't understand the Jewish side of it yet, but everything else that she's doing is fantastic. And that will help to lead people to us, and people will realize that we're not the bad guys. We're the good guys in all of this. But what was the other news that you had from Sweden? Was that related to the resistance movement in any way?
It's not related at all to the resistance movement. It's a new separate project with a completely different, you know, background and completely different activism. It's called Free Sweden. And it's a group of nationalists. Some of them are doing radio, and they will continue to do radio. Different people who have spent, you know, decades in the movement. Some of them are currently working from Berlin, where they're broadcasting from Berlin, and they're now moving back to Sweden to start this project. And basically, they're going to have a, you know, generational plan, long term plan, to, you know, retake Sweden in various steps. So in the first year, they're gonna build something called House of the Swedes, which is gonna be at first just one house, and then in years' time there will be several Houses of the Swedes. But it's a house where there will be you know, a gym, a library, you know, a cafe, and a television studio, podcast recording studio, and places where you can have meetings. And every week there will be speeches, conferences, something, there'll be something every weekend to go to listen to, and it'll be open 7 days a week, and everyone's welcome there. And it's going to be a gathering place for nationalists to further our movement, whereas it's going to be a hub for all different kinds of activities. And there's going to be places where the kids can play. It's, you know, basically something that's welcome for any and all nationalists, and very welcome to families. And once they do that, they're also going to do social work in the city where they're situated, you know, to be part of the local environment, help people along, you know, as the Swedish social state is collapsing due to the immense pressure put on by immigrants who are, you know, sucking the welfare system dry, basically. They're going to, you know, be a substitute system. And they tend to also buy land and buy houses. So further along the project, they will be able to offer cheap housing to Swedes. And by Swedes, we mean actual Swedes.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. It's really good. So in the first year, they're going to open the first house. And once that's up and running as kind of a headquarter, then they will seek funding to build a new house and then another house and buy more and more land. You know, it's like, you know, slowly retake Sweden and build businesses and take over businesses and create jobs for Swedes. You know, it's kind of a state within a state. So the free Sweden will be the alternative Sweden for actual Swedes to retake their country.
Is this a privately financed initiative, or
yeah, it's solely privately financed. They won't even if they can seek funds from the state, they won't seek a single kron from the Swedish government. They will fund it entirely by themselves.
I was just thinking,
so they won't be dependent on anyone else.
I was just thinking, there's a way, if you can get declared that you are indigenous people, then you can get funds from the UN. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Because they try and say that there's no such thing as a Swede, don't they? The Swedish government.
I guess that's the main point of all national governments. They've opened up the citizenship to be for everyone, basically. So they can't claim that there is a Danish people or there is a Swedish people, because they allow anyone to become Danish and Swedish on paper.
There needs to be a difference between being a Swedish national and a Swedish citizen, and a British national and a British citizen. We used to have this in Britain. You used to have a British subject and you used to have a British citizen, and there were two different things. And if you're going to have foreigners in your country, then they have to be designated as somehow different to the original ethnicity. And I know in Russia, people that are foreigners to the country are designated different. They're not of Russian heritage. They're something else, different to it. And that's the way we need to have it in the rest of Europe. We need to be advocating for this. Well, so they've been broadcasting out of Berlin all this time, and now they're moving back to Sweden. Was that to get around any of the Swedish laws, or did they just happen to be in Berlin?
Well, not really. It's one of the guys got married there, and it was just to bring down the expenses. I mean, they have a couple of thousand paying subscribers, so they're working full time as broadcasters, and the living expenses in Berlin, and basically everything is cheaper in Berlin. And they've talked for years about one day they would return to Sweden, but they wouldn't just return to broadcast radio. It would be because they had something to do there. And now they've been working on this for a long time. They've teased the project for a long time, and now they finally revealed what their big plans are. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I wish them all the best, because it's something to inspire us all. And I hope we could do something similar in Denmark one day, you know, not just have a political organization, but also have that type of organization that will do a lot of other things, such as you know, creating a lot of hubs for nationalists where they can just gather and meet and socialize, and you know, get a lot of projects done, and you know, create businesses, take over businesses, and you know, help each other out with jobs, with family, with everything.
Just having a space that's specifically for the Swedish people. I mean, that's a big step forward. I mean, if we could have something like that over here, a space that's just for British people, I mean, that would be fantastic. You know, you could go there and, you know, I'm sure you would also get people there that weren't nationalists, but were just fed up of what they were seeing around them, especially if it was situated in an area that was fairly multicultural already. And you get people that were fed up of not hearing their own language spoken, fed up of being barged around on the street or hearing of their kids or friends of theirs being approached to buy drugs and things like that. And then they could go to this place that was for them and find other people to talk to about it. You know, I could see that really taking off.
Yeah, and if they open a business, then, you know, all the people would come there and support it. And then they can say, well, I don't really have a job, but yeah, but I know someone who can... who can give me a job because I have this, you know, new network of people that are like-minded and who I share blood with. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and they already have. They've been. It's been 6 days since they had their press conference, and they already have close to 700 members.
That's and
so the funding for the first house will come quicker than anyone expected.
And where are they hoping to have as their base? What part of Sweden?
Well, they haven't disclosed any locations as of yet, but it'll be somewhere where most of the people who started the project will move to be close to the project. But you know, they will have a lot of security issues, which they say they can solve no problem. It is doable. And it won't be a problem. But where they are located, of course, they can't be located in the middle of Stockholm because the property prices are sky high. But you know, there'll be some compromise. If someone has a building that they can offer to the project, then they can buy that, or else they can build something from scratch. You know, buy a plot of land. Somewhere where it's desirable in a distance where it's possible for people to go there. You know, there's a lot of different ways that this can go, but of course it won't be situated in the middle of nowhere, but you know, it'll have to be a compromise because of the costs involved in building it.
Yeah, you would also, I think, have to move in before you announce it. I mean, if you were to say, oh, we're looking at this area, then you know, but the enemy would be aware and they'd be doing all they could to stop you being in there. But once you're actually in, then you can announce we're in, we've got this place, this is where we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I mean, they're already, you know, there's something called Expo, which is like the Antifa doxing organization in Sweden. They have a Facebook page where they're already threatening to burn it down and to build fences around it, you know, to make it like a concentration camp, really. But, you know, they're making all kinds of threats already. But I don't think it will be a problem. You know, once it's up and running and there will be some security there, I mean, people won't be afraid to come there. It will be a safe place for white Swedes.
Finally. That's what we need. That's
a
really good example. That's what Western Spring have been trying to do over in Britain for the last few years. They've got six prerequisites, and what they're wanting to do is get the money together and get people to move to a certain area and then gradually take the area over. I mean, they've got all these plans for doing that and buying up businesses and then the people that are there frequenting the businesses and basically behaving like the ethnic minorities have once they come over here, because that's what they do. They put all their money together, they buy a business and then all of their friends frequent that business, and then somebody else buys one up the road and, until they've taken over a street, and then they take over the whole area, basically. And it's basically learning to think like an ethnic minority does, because that's really what we need to do, because we're being turned into ethnic minorities in our own country.
Yeah.
We need to get together and organize and do these things and buy up these properties and take back our land. If we want to do it non-violently, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a proven concept. It really works. You know, you can see what the Muslims have been doing everywhere. If they want a mosque or a house or, you know, a business, you know, they pull their money together and they come from far away to support it. And we can do that as well. I mean, if I just give 10% of what I earn every month to nationalist causes, I mean, if everybody did that, you know, if we could pull together a large sum of money. No problem. It's just a matter of being willing to sacrifice what you have, and I don't think that would be a problem, because as things get worse, you know, you sort of find out what matters in life, and what matters is, you know, the existence of our people and a future for our children, and you know, having the newest iPhone or a Netflix subscription, you know, that pales in comparison to what actually matters. So I'd much rather give everything I own to nationalist causes rather than just spend it on hedonistic bullshit.
Trinkets and baubles and crap. 10% yeah. of your income, I mean, that's really not that much. But if everyone was to be doing that, then
yeah, I mean, we would have... A lot of people are students. Not all people have something to give, but, you know, just give what you can. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but... you know, just make it a habit to do that, and you'll feel much better, and you'll see things starting to happen in real life.
I think the idea of them being in Berlin as well, because Sweden was too expensive and starting off in Berlin, and that's a good idea. But you could go to places that are even cheaper. I mean, you could go somewhere like Bulgaria, and set up a base there at first until you get things together, and then make your way back to whatever country you're in. If you wanted to do things professionally and produce television and radio and everything else and have a base, then, you know, there are cheap parts of Europe that you could do that in. And then if you get people from the richer parts of Europe that start donating to it, then, you know, you're really going to get something. You're really going to get a lot of value for money. Like if you have people from Sweden donating to somewhere that was in Bulgaria, you know, the money, what they were donating would be worth, what, three or four times as much as it is in Sweden.
And I could just imagine what would happen if you moved a large white nationalist corporation to Bulgaria, and then they were just suddenly feeling the pressure from certain people who would contact the Bulgarian government to remove these terrible people.
This is what gets me. I feel sorry for Richard Spencer. I mean, he goes to Bulgaria, or was it Hungary, and he gets arrested, and he was supposed to be going to Poland, and they told him he was banned.
New ban.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him, because I mean, we really don't think that differently to the policies of Orbán in Hungary or the policies of Poland, and yet they still seem keen to virtue signal to the rest of the world by banning someone like Richard Spencer. Just because he's supporting them, just because Richard Spencer has been demonized, they think that if they ban him from their country, that the rest of the world are going to pat them on the back and think, oh yeah, they're not so bad after all. But it hasn't stopped, you know, Hungary and Poland from being slagged off in the press. I mean, just look at this recent nationalist demonstration in Poland. I mean, they've been attacked everywhere, aren't they? The Jews are demanding that, that the Polish authorities start arresting these people. And you know, no attention has been paid whatsoever to the fact that they banned Richard Spencer. It's ridiculous.
It's amazing. They're going, oh God, it's like another Holocaust. But all he was doing was, yeah, just visiting as a nationalist. And what that means is that now he also can't visit Denmark. He can't visit Sweden or the United Kingdom because of that Schengen deal, which was, you know, meant to curb international crime. And instead, it's being used to harass and terrorize dissidents. It's madness, pure madness.
And they're constantly misusing their own laws. It was like we were referring to earlier, the terrorism law in Britain being used against a peaceful protest group. And we've always known they bring these laws in with a view to misusing them. But to that sort of an extent, that's the knock-on effect from Poland doing that. Nobody's rewarded them for it. Nobody's rewarded Hungary for doing the same and arresting him. And you would think they would show some solidarity, but they're still desperate to distance themselves from them. I was really pleased this week to see Donald Trump retweeting Britain First. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic. Did that make the news over there in Denmark at all?
I haven't kept up with the Danish news because they're so awful. So I tend to stay away from them. But I can only imagine, because most of the things you see in the Danish media is just a copy paste from the New York Times, basically, or CNN. So whatever talking points they have usually just get transferred to the Danish media.
Oh, this so was amazing.
I guess they are, because I saw one headline you know, 5 days ago that dealt with, you know, Trump's Pocahontas comments, which I said, why is that relevant for a Danish news site? But that's what they do. They just copy paste it.
And this is international news. I mean, Donald Trump retweeted Britain First, a civic nationalist group in Britain. And, you know, they've had questions in the Houses of Parliament. They've said that Donald Trump now cannot visit Britain. If he comes here, they're going to arrest him for hate speech. And nothing has been said at all about the content of the videos, apart from they said in one of them, oh, the guy was actually Danish because he's a Danish citizen. Well, he wasn't. He had brown skin. He wasn't Danish. He may have had a bit of paper saying bullshit. He's Danish. Not Danish, sorry, Dutch. I'm getting confused between the two there. Dutch citizen. But the rest of it was Muslims throwing someone off the roof of a building. And nothing's been said about that. Apparently, it's wrong to point out the crimes that Muslims are carrying out. If you're doing that, then you're Islamophobic and it's a hate crime and you should be arrested. And they've been calling Jada Franson, the leader of Britain First, they've been saying she's a criminal. She's a hardened criminal. And it's just for speech crime, just for thought crime.
This is the exact, they used the exact same tactics in the presidential election in 2016 when a lot of things got revealed about the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton's crimes. Instead of dealing with the crimes, they dealt with the leak. Then they said, look at this terrible leak. We can't have people leaking sort of stuff. We got to find out who's leaking this and go after these people. They never addressed what was actually in those leaks, which was just crime after crime. So they just have this tactic of ignoring the actual issue, ignoring the content, and then just going after those who present the content. They're doing the exact same thing with Trump here.
Well, the more they do that, the more they bring people to our side, because people are just left scratching their heads, saying, what is this? Are we an Islamic state now? Are Muslims allowed to just carry out crimes and we get punished for pointing it out? Surely it can't be like that. Surely there must be some political party somewhere that's speaking up against this. And we've now got a counter-jihad party. We've got For Britain being run by Anne-Marie Waters, and I think she's gonna succeed. Because of that, and you know, because that's what people want. That's what people want to hear. We've seen it all across Europe. These anti-Muslim parties are having success. Thankfully, we've got one now in Britain, and hopefully, we'll see the Nordic Resistance Movement take off in Denmark in the new year, Klaus. But we've come to the end of the podcast now, so I'll say thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with Jez Turner, and Matthew Heimbach will be back on Tuesday. So have a great weekend and hail victory.
List on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.